Welcome back to Coast AM. We're going to switch gears now. We're going to speak about something that is so vitally important. What is being done to remediate the Fukushima nuclear power plant reactors? As we all know, in 2011, the earthquake that took place off the coast of Japan caused the tsunami that wiped out several nuclear reactors in the area, along with over 16,000 people who died in this tragic event. But there are millions of tons of debris and radioactive material floating between Japan and California. And what's being done about all of this nuclear fuel that's being released into the Pacific Ocean? 647 tons of it, to be exact. And Dennis Watts is joining us. He's a consultant and an advisor to the Nexus Environmental Corporation on the Fukushima remediation project. He's going to share with us a five-phase plan that can actually restore some of this waste and in the Pacific Ocean and actually make it an environmentally sound area again. But first, we're going to cover the statistics. We will be back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. There is a potential global extinction level event that is in progress happening between the coast of Japan and California. And what is being done about it? The debris that has been released into the Pacific Ocean equals about 647 tons of nuclear fuel that's been released in the Pacific Ocean, including corium fuel rods that are fragmented in the ocean and off the Fukushima coast. And why have we not been heard about this looming event? Well, joining me is Dennis Watts, and he has been a consultant and advisor to the Nexus Environmental Corporation and on the Fukushima remediation project team. He is here to share a five-phase plan that can restore the nuclear waste site in the Pacific Ocean and recreate it as an environmentally sound area that can support life instead of destroying it. Welcome to the show, Dennis. Thank you so much for joining me.
Lisa, I want to thank you so very much for allowing me to have this platform. Thank you.
Oh, yes. There's so much information to learn here. So let's talk about, first of all, some of the recent finds that have not been widely reported at all, about these melted corium fuel rods. Can we talk
Well,
about
I
those?
mean, what has happened in essence is most people are aware that there was a major explosion happened with the reactor number one and then number three, and then something happened and number four went off for whatever reason. And what happened in essence was that the explosions of reactors one and three blew the doors off of number two. And what happened when that, the hydrogen that would normally build up to cause this explosion, it just simply seeped into the atmosphere. So what has been happening is we've been getting this radiation not only going into the ground, but into the atmosphere as well. And so it is now circumventing the globe. And what has happened again was the fact that we, let's say we, I'm talking about Japan, it not being totally their fault. I mean, this was a severe accident due to the gigantic tsunami that hit them, but it has been difficult for them to really find ways to contain this leak, this radiation. And then it was really, really difficult for them because they had so much of the fuel rods that needed to stay in pools and stay cool. And what happened in essence is that they lost power and lost the ability to maintain the temperatures of these fuel rods at a level that was safe. And so some of them went critical. And what happened after that, of course, is that the fuel rods melted together, and they call that a corium. And it burnt through first containment, went through second containment, and into the ground, which is called China syndrome. And as far as we can tell, it has also went into the underground water table and ended up out into the ocean.
Because levels were discovered off of the coast?
Off the coast of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fragmented, and we believe, and just has a debris field that spreads out over about 241 kilometers, as far as we can tell. And then from there, what we're looking at is that this radiation is still spewing into the ocean basin itself.
Still?
Yes. And that is causing great harm to life itself in the ocean. And we've got to find a way to go in and to remediate this problem.
Well, let's talk about some of the effects. So this is continually going on.
Right. Now, what happened was it was around 2013, October, they did a Muon scan. This is like a giant machine that will allow you to x-ray buildings, and you can kind of just see through them. And they were trying to find a way to see where the coriums were, and they couldn't find them. This was back in 2013. And the coriums had, for all intent and purpose, left the building. Now, right now, they can't go in the building. They can't even send robots
right.
in the building. And as a result, the electronics will fry in about 20 minutes.
Let's talk about that for just a second, because if any human were to go into that building because of the amount of radioactive material that's being released, they would die within
1 hour.
An hour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got it. You understand. And that's what's happening. It's about 9 sieverts of radiation coming off of these buildings as a result of what was left behind. The coriums, they leave a trail of radioactive debris behind them as they move forward or move down into the earth. And that is what's happening. And, of course, they're doing their best to contain it, yes. But what has happened, in essence, is even when they put cranes in and around the building, they have taken pictures where the cranes are crumbling and coming apart as well because of the Wigner effect. And the Wigner effect is basically when you have any object within radiation field or radiation area, it has a tendency to create embrittlement. And that can cause embrittlement of metal or glass or concrete, all the things that you would think would be protecting you from radiation, it will eventually find a way through it. And that is what's happening all around the world, really, with all of our nuclear reactors. I know we are under the impression that lead is the metal of choice for protecting you from radiation. And yes, when you got some nice fresh lead, it will protect you for a while, but eventually that radiation will get through. And that's what's happening with most radio, let's say, nuclear power plants that it's hard even to say, because as I go through this, I will show you that I believe that's what's happening with a lot of the radio, with the nuclear power plants around our country, is that they're old. And that the radiation has found a way through, and it just moves into the outer environment and incorporates itself into our ecology.
Is that why many of the nuclear power plants are placed against the coast?
Yeah, in a way, yes.
In case of disaster, or because that there is a constant
Well, there's
breaking
water,
down?
You know, to keep them cool.
Okay.
That's the main source.
Right.
And the main reason. But and you need to have lots and lots of water flowing through it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, this water becomes radioactive and it becomes waste, and they've got to figure out a way to store it or try to remediate it. But they haven't had much luck, and most of the water ends up going into storage underground or something to that effect.
Uh-huh. I see.
Oh,
but in the meantime, though, it has to go somewhere. It can't just
accumulate.
Right. It can't just sit.
Exactly. Because that's where the problem is. Mm-hmm. Over in Fukushima, they have hundreds and hundreds of tanks, and that's where they have spent billions and billions of dollars to bring and build more tanks to store the water to try to keep these fuel rods at a temperature so they don't go critical. They have about 647 tons of fuel rods to protect, and they are running out of places to put the water tanks, and they are having a hard time remediating this water so that it can be reused. And as a result, one of the things that is happening is that they are running out of places to store this water, so they are allowing it to just drain right into the Pacific Ocean basin.
Which then was projected about 2 years before that started to show up on the coast of California, right?
You got it. You understand.
And now, in August of 2015, last year, over 1 million sockeye salmon have been found dead or dying in this region of the Pacific Northwest. How have those deaths been related to the radioactive material?
No, the scientists that are looking at it do not want to make that relationship.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
And like, if you've noticed recently, they have stopped all consumption of the Dungeness crab in the San Francisco area. Of course, they do not relate that to radioactive crabs. They relate it to something called Dominic acid. But I'm trying my best to figure out why do you not want to let people understand what's going on so they can better protect themselves and their families. And I think the reason is they don't have a solution. Therefore, let's not panic the public. And what I want to do is basically say we believe we do have solutions. We've tested them in the labs. As a matter of fact, it's been tested in the labs in Fukushima at Kawamata Labs in Fukushima. We've tested some of the blends that we have, the nuclear remediation mineral blend, and they were tested successful for remediating radiation in about 72 hours.
I think in order to understand what some of those remediation possibilities are, people need to understand more of the problem. For example, you stated in your research material that the drought that is happening in the West Coast could have to do with the radiation in the ocean. Can you explain that?
Well, we have to understand that the whole of our ecology, the whole of our creation that we're experiencing here on Earth, is one gigantic living conscious aware being, and that there is in fact no separation of life, and that when you are incorporating any kind of toxin into a living system, the whole system is going to cringe. And in the case of radiation and chemtrails and things of that sort being poured in and around our environment, it causes our soil to be out of balance from a mineral standpoint. It causes the air to be toxic because of the radiation, and it breaks what is called a hydrologic cycle. That's where, you know, you have evaporation.
Right.
That's where you have clouds form and you have rain, and all of that part is broke. And I believe it's due because of too much toxicity in our environment. Now, if we find ways, which I believe we have, we can neutralize the harmful effects of these toxins and restore the hydrologic cycle and restore the balance and the beauty of our ecology and get rid of the drought and get rid of all of the other toxic byproducts of chemtrail in our soil, you know, the barium and the aluminum salts that are being dropped from the air on a regular basis, we can hopefully restore the hydrologic cycle so that it can work as God intended, as Creator intended. And that includes bringing down or lowering the level of background radiation, because from Fukushima, we not only have the ocean being poisoned, but we have the jet stream and the upper atmosphere being polluted as well. I was listening to a talk by, I believe her name is Lauren Mornay, and she was talking about fighter jets over in Guam. One of them was landing, and the windshield fell out. And when they figured out what was happening, the Wigner effect had embrittled the rivets that was holding it together. And so that means that plane was flying through a lot of radiation
in order
for it to land and the windshield to fall out. Well, that's happening to a lot of planes, all that flying in and around our area in our atmosphere. And I remember it was just recently, a few months ago, a plane was, the engine had fallen apart on a plane in Las Vegas. And immediately my brain went to the fact, it must have been flying through too much radiation, and the components became embrittled, and the stresses of the engine could not hold together anymore.
Well, speaking of the atmosphere, so could the current, you know, El Nino and the storms that are happening across the country essentially be radioactive rain?
Yes. Yes.
It could be.
Yes.
How would we know?
I remember right after event in March of 2011. This was maybe around October time frame. You know, it happened in March. Around October, I was getting ready to go to work, and I was just squeegeeing off my car, the windshield, the dew. And as I was using a paper towel to wipe off the residue, I noticed my tips of my fingers started tingling. And immediately my brain said, that's not supposed to be happening. And I went in and really, really washed my hands really good, because I believe that was radioactive dew that I had touched.
Is there any way for us to be able to test that? I know that, I mean, as the end user, as the homeowner?
You can have a Geiger counter or a Dawson meter, and you can measure that kind of thing in and around your home and around the gutters and around the filters of your air conditioner filters and things of that sort. You can definitely find out what's going on and to what extent it's happening.
I mean, there's always going to be a certain amount of radiation, but what levels are safe, what are not? Are there certain chemicals that are considered benign and some that are considered extremely dangerous?
Well, there are probably over 200 different nucleotides. Now, most of the scientists now are just looking at like cesium-134 and 137, and they're under the opinion that the signature of the nucleotide coming from Fukushima is cesium-134. Now, there are many other nucleotides that are coming in the atmosphere, coming in the water, that are equally dangerous. And I don't want to go through and bore the audience with all the different types, but the bottom line is that all of them, and you were asking if there was a safe limit, I'm not aware of any limit.
Well, let me ask you, though, the fish that are, you know, the salmon that are dying and the sperm whales that have been found dead, have they contained this particular cesium-134?
No, they haven't. It's not contained, and it has a half life of quite a few years, as a matter of fact, 30 years or something like that.
But none of these dead the fish, the salmon, and so forth, have had traces of that particular cesium-134.
No one has bothered to measure them, as far as I know.
Why not? Oh well,
it's the question. Like I said, I believe that there is a concerted effort to squash this information and to keep it from the public.
Why?
Keep in mind that even in Japan, it is a felony for them to discuss it. So their scientists can't tell the public, and the news people can't report what's going on. And then if you come here in the United States, I'm seeing the same kind of thing happening here. I'm seeing that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, we have something called the RadNet, or the Radiation Network, and they shut it off. And then when I try to figure out, why did you shut it off? Well, they're saying, in essence, that cell phone towers are interfering with their ability to communicate. So we don't have a solution, so we just turned it off.
I see. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more facts, statistics, around, well, we're going to report on the facts around Fukushima and the nuclear power plant reactors when we come back. We'll be right back. This is Lisa Gari, listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gari, and if you'd like to check out my website, I have a regular set of shows that I do throughout the week. You can find it all at theawareshow.com. That's theawareshow.com. I broadcast many different shows throughout the week, and I'd love to have you join one of my shows. I also do a lot of great video interviews as well. I also have a show on Gaiam TV along with George on that network, and it's called Lisa's Inspirations. And you can find that at lisasinspirations.com. So check all of that out, and we will come back and continue our conversation with Dennis Watts. Again, this is Lisa Gari, you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Dennis Watts. He's a consultant and advisor to the Nexus Environmental Corporation, and we're talking about Fukushima. And the daunting fact as of June 2015 is that the radiation from Japan's coast has reached the U.S. West Coast, and it's shown up in what we're talking about earlier, cesium-134, is that right? And other radioactive materials that are actually showing up on the West Coast. And are you familiar with this, Dennis, and in what way is it showing up?
Well, mostly like in your water supplies and things of that sort, in the grass, I'm concerned about, of course, our dairy, our milk, our cheese, our eggs, and things of that sort, because, like I said, it's in the upper atmosphere, so it's incorporating into the ecology of everywhere we're going. Now, what happens is it might be at low levels in the beginning. But what happens is it accumulates over time, and you get more and more and more unless you stop it. And we have to go to the source in order to stop this. You can't do anything really here until we stop it over there. And that's why we need to get Shinzo Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, to allow us to get some good quality engineering data so that we can design a procedure and a process and a protocol to remediate the facilities and to remediate the problem that has happened out in the ocean off the coast of Fukushima. And we believe we have solutions. We believe that we have the special extremophile microbes that have the ability to go and consume this radiation at the energetic level.
So tell me how
And these
this works.
extremophiles
These.
are very, very, very important to our process for remediation because they will follow the trail of where the coriums went and consume that radiation, hopefully all the way out to the ocean and to the depths of the ocean.
And you're talking about this, it's a uranium-eating bacteria. How was that discovered?
Well, they call it a bacteria because they don't know what else to call it because it is different than anything else. It's not really a bacteria. It is more like an RNA-based extremophile
Okay.
nanomicrobe. And what makes it interesting and what makes it very different from bacteria is the fact that it has no DNA associated with it.
Wow.
It has RNA, ribonucleic acid. And what it does in essence is it was designed by the Creator to fix and to restore creation at the foundation.
Where is it found?
Everywhere, mostly in and around volcanics. It lives in lava. It lives under the ocean at those really hot vents. It can live in salt. It can live in highly toxic areas and be comfortable and live in ice and still be comfortable. And they are immortal for all intent and purpose.
Seems like it, yes.
All intent and purpose. Now, we've been using them primarily for doing compost and things of that sort. But I feel, this is just my opinion and a hypothesis, so to speak, that they can be used on a much wider scale for just health and healing in general of our trees, our plants, our farm animals, and also the human body can be benefited by these beings too when we learn what does it take for them to thrive in that environment. And I believe we're very, very close to finding that out. But the bottom line, I don't want to digress too far, is to get back and understand that that's one of the solution sets that we have access to, and we want to implement in order to clean up the destroyed reactor buildings, and then they can be safely dismantled and decommissioned.
Has this particular mineral blend been used to remediate radioactive materials on a small scale?
Yes. In other words, it was tested in the labs at Fukushima, at Kawamata Lab at Fukushima. And the thing that blows me away is they had the solution right there, and I could not figure out why didn't they jump on it? Why didn't they use it? And I'm getting the feeling again that it was because of their ability to not talk, not share, that they could not do it without fear of, you know, some sort of prosecution. So we've got to change that in some way, shape, or form. And that's why we are putting together or have put together a petition so that everybody can sign it. And on that petition, we're directing this. Now, my presentation was sent to the White House and put on Joe Biden's desk for them for consideration. And one of their assistants did write me a letter and ask some more questions because they were interested in the what we call the nuclear remediation mineral blend. That is a solution put together by a very, very gifted industrial chemist by the name of Shastri. And what we wanted to do was show that this stuff has been tested. Let's go ahead and start planning ways to get it implemented so that we can clean up all of the miles and miles of debris that they have stored over there, and also all of the tanks and hundreds of tanks of water. We can now clean up all of the radionucleotides. Right now, they have found ways to get rid of some of them, but tritium seems to be the most persistent nucleotide, and they don't have a way of getting rid of it. And as a result, that's the one they're pouring into the ocean and further poisoning our Pacific Ocean. And my main concern is not only just the fish are having a hard time, but my concern is the phytoplankton. These are the little tiny microbes, which in my opinion is the largest biomass on the planet.
The lifeblood of the ocean, yes.
They produce close to 80% of the oxygen we breathe on this planet. Trees do the other 20%. That includes the Amazon and our redwoods up north and the other forests that we have here and there. That is how we breathe and have an atmosphere because of their presence. And if we are poisoning their environment, how do they function? How can they produce what we need in order to survive? That leads to an extinction level event if they cannot hold themselves together because of too much toxic radiation. Now, normally, the ocean is intelligent. It's a conscious being, and it has the ability to remediate radiation. Yes, but it cannot remediate if I'm constantly assaulting it.
Right, right. It can do it once or twice. But what now has this nuclear remediation mineral blend, has it been tested? Has it proved to be effective in neutralizing?
At Kawamata Labs in Fukushima, it was tested, yes, back in 2013.
And why, what happened at that point? I mean, that was several years ago.
Yeah, that was back in 2013. And like I said, I believe, because I didn't get the full details as to why didn't you jump on this and start to implement it immediately? Well, my thought is that, again, they were in fear because the Japanese right now, like I said, it's a felony for them to discuss the radiation problem.
A felony to discuss it, but what about doing something about it?
Yeah, well, what they're doing is like moving chairs on the Titanic, and that's just moving the water and building tanks and storing all their wastewater in those tanks. That's where they're spending all their money. They don't have any other solutions beyond that, as far as I can tell. And because the reactor building, the radiation is just too powerful and no one can go near them.
Right.
And even cranes can't even survive in the presence of this radiation. The embrittlement or the Wigner effect takes hold and the cranes are falling apart. So they do have a major challenge, but if we can put these microbes in, we believe we have a fighting chance.
Wouldn't there have to be an enormous amount of these microbes? I mean, is there an endless supply of this? What's its source?
These microbes, they are asexual, and they have what is called a binary fission method, where they reproduce immediately. They grow geometrically to suit the need in the environment. And then once they have finished, they go dormant.
Very intelligent microbes.
Very intelligent they are. No question. And that is what we would take into consideration, and we would implement that for the reactors, and then for the dry debris, that's the soil and the trees and the plants and other things that have been radioactive, and they put into these special plastic bags. I don't know how the plastic bags are holding the radiation in, because they would be subject to embrittlement as well and falling apart. And back in September of last year, they had a major typhoon, and that major typhoon took several hundreds of those bags and broke them and spread them out throughout their environment. And then they broke, that strong wind broke two of their gigantic water storage tanks, which held about 300 tons of water, and that just spread across the Fukushima site and into the ocean again. So they just totally lost control of this radiation.
Continually. I mean, it doesn't take anybody could figure out the fact that the currents are eventually going to bring that radioactive material all across our oceans, not just to the West Coast.
It's happening so much.
Yeah.
So intensely. The ocean can't recuperate fast enough to neutralize it. It does need some time. But if I'm constantly assaulting you, no way for me to recuperate and move on into a healthy environment. So now it is accumulating on a high level, and now our fish can't survive. And even down in Australia, I don't know if you saw a picture, and I should maybe give the website so people can go and see this information for themselves. And they can hopefully get their senators and get their politicians involved with helping us get decisions. We have a petition that we want to...
But what is a petition going to do if there's readily...
We want the grassroots to know that the politicians talk to their politicians and hopefully give us some support so that we can get the necessary help we need. And what I was suggesting in my executive summary was that we really need the help of the military, because we need their heavy equipment. We need to get access to their space-based platform so that we can find the edges of the problem and be able to safely solve the problem from the outside inward towards the heavy-duty stuff.
Let me go back to the NRMV, that nuclear remediation mineral blend. Where is its source? Is there an abundance of it, even though it does replicate fast? What is?
Oh, no, you got it mixed up. That's just another solution set. We have the extremophiles or the microbes. That's one solution.
Okay.
There we have a person who can just go ahead and culture those guys and to whatever level we need. Then we have the nuclear remediation mineral blend that's made by another person, and that person will be able to make as much as we need in order to resolve the Fukushima issue and probably any other issues, because we have issues here in the United States already besides Fukushima that needs the same solution.
So there's several solutions at this point.
Yes.
And there's also one that can restore the soil intelligence, right?
Right. And we can use that same nuclear remediation, and we can also use the microbes there as well in the soil.
And so now this is a matter of getting a petition signed. Well, what does the petition say?
The petition is basically explaining the problem And the fact that we need support from the government, from the military, so that we can get access to some of the technology that they have. In particular, I'm interested in their infrared technology or their technology that will allow us to do thermography so that we can tell where the hot spots are. And that will be a key indicator or metric for us to zero in on the exact locations of where the aquariums might be.
Isn't that already being done? You could find various pictures of I mean...
But those aren't current. Those are projections.
Okay, I see.
Those are predictions or computer models.
But they're not actual... Okay, I see.
Right, those are computer models, and they can be fairly accurate. Mm-hmm. The algorithms can be fairly accurate. But the thing is, we need real-time data from these satellites so that we can have photographs of what's going on so that we can be more precise. Because the main thing, I'm designing this whole process is to keep people alive. I don't want nobody sacrificing their life. I want everybody to be able to go into this problem and come out and enjoy their family still.
Well, I was looking at, as I was doing research on this, I was looking at the various types of photography that's being done and the gas leak here in Porter Ranch in California.
Yes.
And there was a particular video that I saw that was you could actually see the gas leak and the material in the atmosphere through this specific type of photography. I didn't make note of it, but the technology exists.
Yes, it does. And it's also space-based as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then why isn't it being utilized?
Like I said, no one wants to recognize we have a problem. When we were first trying to get our product tested, we were going down to Sandia Labs. Now, this is the premier experts for nuclear materials. And when I was talking to them, their experts were saying, oh, don't worry, there's nothing going to be happening from that Fukushima. And I said, oh, no, and these are my experts in the whole world, and they're saying this? And I already knew that there was going to be problems, but they were under the impression that there wasn't going to be a problem. And their solution is that, you know, any radiation going into the ocean is going to be diluted. No big problem. The ocean is so vast, not a problem. And that is so far from the truth.
Right.
Being demonstrated on a grand scale.
And it's definitely because there's so a constant assault, as you said. It's not just dumped once and then the ocean assimilates it. It's a constant assault to the tune of tons of radiation that is still being generated daily, hourly.
And with the aquariums having
with no end in sight, right?
Syndrome going into the ocean, and we've got to go in, and hopefully the microbes will clean that up for us.
What is the website so that people can look this up while we during the break?
If they go to wtsenats.info, that's wtsenates.info/nexus, NEXX. US/Fukushima.
Okay, and Senates is plural?
Yes.
Okay.
UT Senate. In other words, that's the World Technology Senate. In other words, we have another leg where we just go around the world and look for the brightest minds and we interview their technologies. And that's in essence what we're taking advantage of. We have a number of very, very brilliant beings on this planet. The solutions are there.
Yeah.
All we want to do is get these solutions implemented as quickly as possible to solve whatever problem presents itself.
And we haven't specifically outlined your five-phase system, which we will definitely go into when we come back from the break, about what your plan is to... There's a whole plan of action, and there's a team of people who are attempting to execute this plan of action, but it takes awareness, and it takes momentum as well, and it takes...
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And we want the help of our grassroots to talk to their politicians, because we need Joe Biden to help us. We need Barack Obama to help us. We need him to talk to the DOD and tell the DOD to support us. because we're going to need the whole planet to be involved.
Right. It's a global issue. All right,
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, Dennis. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation and go through the phases of your remediation plan. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.